Chapter 6. Julia Lee's thoughts, certain beliefs rather, centered around an overwhelming sense of defeat. Deep down, she knew she had botched her mission. She had made the wrong moves, said the wrong things. There was a feeling of emptiness, shrouded by despair in her mind. She had learned much about the smuggler's operation. There were ashes in her mouth as she realized that it was all for nothing. The vital information she had obtained might never be passed on to the Immigration and Naturalization Service so they could apprehend the smugglers. She felt a sea of pain from her sadistically inflicted injuries, sick and empty and debased. She was also deathly tired and hungry. Her self-assurance had gotten the better of her. She failed by not acting meek and subjugated. By using the skills taught her during her training as a special INS agent, and given enough time, she could have easily escaped her captors before being submitted to a life of rape. Now it was too late. Julia was too badly hurt to make an all-out physical effort. It was all she could do to stand upright without getting dizzy and losing her balance before falling to her knees. Because of dedication to her work, Julia had few close friends. The men in her life had passed through as if they were part of a reception line, little more than acquaintances. Sadness settled over her at the thought of never seeing her mother and father again. Strangely, she was conscious of no fear or revulsion. Whatever was to happen to her in the next few hours, nothing could change it. Through the steel deck, she sensed the engines coming to a stop. Without headway, the ship began rolling in the swells. A minute later, the anchor chain clattered through the hawse hole. The Indigo Star had anchored just outside the territorial limits of the United States to evade law enforcement action. Julia's watch had been taken from her during the interrogation, and all she could be certain about the time was that it was sometime in the middle of the night. She looked around at the other 40 or more pathetic individuals huddled in the cargo hold, thrown in there after the interrogations. They all began chattering excitedly, thinking they had at last reached America and were going ashore to begin a new life. Julia might have felt the same, but she knew better. The truth would strike savagely and with cold indifference. Any expectation of happiness was short-lived. They had all been deceived. These were the intelligent ones, those of wealth and substance. They had been defrauded and robbed by the smugglers, and yet they still had the look of hope about them. Julia was certain their immediate future would be one of terror and extortion. She looked with great sadness at two families with young children and prayed they would live to escape the smugglers and the domination by the criminal cartels waiting on shore. 2 hours was all the time the crew of smugglers needed to transfer the illegal Chinese aliens into trawlers belonging to a fishing fleet owned by Tsingshan Maritime. Manned by documented Chinese who had taken out their citizenship papers, the fleet carried out legitimate fishing operations when not transporting illegal immigrants from the mothership to transit points in small harbors and coves along the Olympic Peninsula coast. There, buses and cargo trucks waited to carry them to destinations throughout the country. Julia, the last one to be taken from the cargo hold, was led roughly by an enforcer to the outer deck. She could barely walk, and he half-dragged her. Ki Wong was standing by the disembarkation ramp. He held up a hand and stopped the enforcer before he could escort her down the ramp to a strange-looking black boat, bobbing in the waves beside the ship. "One final word, Ling Tai," he said in a low, cold voice. "Now that you've had a chance to think over my offer, perhaps you've had a change of mind." "If I agree to become your slave," she murmured through her swollen lips, "what then?" He gave her his best jackal grin.
"Why, nothing,"
I don't expect you to become a slave. That opportunity has long since passed. Then what do you want from me? Your cooperation. I'd like you to tell me who else was working with you on board the Indigo Star. I don't know what you're talking about, she muttered contemptuously. He stared at her and shrugged smugly. Then he reached in his coat pocket, drew out a piece of paper, and pushed it at her. Read this, and see that I was right about you. You read it, she said with her last shred of defiance. He held the paper under a deck light and squinted his eyes. The fingerprint and description you sent via satellite were analyzed and identified. The woman, Ling Tai, is an INS agent by the name of Julia Marie Lee. Suggest you deal with her in an expeditious manner. If Julia had a tiny thread of hope, it was abruptly swept away. They must have taken her prints after she was battered unconscious. But how was it possible for a band of Chinese smugglers to make her ID within a few hours from any source but the FBI in Washington, D.C.? The organization had to be far more complex and sophisticated than she and the field investigators at the INS suspected. She was not about to give Wong the slightest degree of satisfaction. I am Ling Tai. I have nothing more to say. Then neither do I. Wong made a gesture with his hand toward the waiting black boat. Goodbye, Miss Lee. As the enforcer took her by the arm and pulled her off the counterfeit cruise ship, Julia looked back up the ramp at Wong, who still stood on the cruise ship's deck. The bastard was sneering at her. She stared up at him with pure hatred in her eyes. You will die, Ki Wong, she said caustically. You will die very soon. He returned her stare, more out of amusement than annoyance. No, Miss Lee, it is you who will die soon.